W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hello and welcome to the Inside of Bees podcast for June the 3rd, 2022. This is episode number 113. On today's show, we'll be talking about the debut of the new DeLorean Alpha 5 concept, Buick EV plans and Wildcat concept, and the BMW iX1 has been revealed. I'm Dominic Yoni, Inside EV's forum moderator and Inside EV's editor. Joining us today, we hope, maybe Tom Malogny, Inside EV's editor and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. He's have some issues there. He's on the road right now, so we're hoping he can join us. We also have the mind-blowing Mr. Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, which is available on all the best podcast platforms. All right. And I think Kyle Connor would be with us today, but he is in Alaska and having some difficulties with internet set up over there. So we're hoping he might drop in, but we haven't seen him yet. So we'll have to keep our fingers crossed. All right. So before we get going, I'd like to ask that you please subscribe to the channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up button and ring that bell icon for notifications. If you're watching us on Twitch, you can also ring that bell icon for notifications. All right. So with that out of the way, welcome everybody.
Martin, hello, hello.
Everybody out there. Oh, your mic is nice and crisp this morning.
Well.
So before we get going, I'd like to ask that you please subscribe to the channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up button and ring that bell icon for notifications. If you're watching us on Twitch, you can also ring that bell icon for notifications. And I think I said that already, but I'm saying it again. So today's show, are we sponsored by Holley today?
Oh, that's a good question. I will investigate that in a moment when we're into our first story. We may well be. It was for June, but I don't know if that includes, you know, it was week beginning June on Monday, if that makes sense. But we'll wait and see. It was for May, but I'll have a look.
Well, let me tell the people about it anyway right now, because they are putting it on the Holley High Voltage Experience. So when I think of the name Holley, I think carburetors, but Holley is actually a huge company with its fingers in many different automotive pies, including electric vehicles. So the Holley High Voltage Experience is an event happening over June 9th and 10th at the Sonoma Raceway in California. And it's all about meeting and hanging out with other EV enthusiasts and the EV curious, checking out tons of electric vehicles, from the ones that you can buy in showrooms to those that people have built or converted. So besides just chatting, there's actual driving opportunities as well, including autocross, drag racing, some road course track lapping, and a 3S challenge, which is a side-by-side speed, steering, and stop competition, which is pretty awesome. So you can go to www.hollyhighvoltage.com for tickets if you want to check it out, or you can also choose from a selection of different event packages if you want to compete in your personal electric vehicle or take part in the car show or the wine country cruise. All right, so that's pretty sweet. And that's happening, it looks like, in 35 days.
Yeah, we're not far away now. Not far away.
There's a countdown on the site, so there's still some time. So let's see. So let's kick it off with what we've been driving this week. So right now it's me and you, Martin. So you've been on vacation for the past week, and I think you actually even have today off due to the Queen Mum's Platinum Jubilee.
The Queen has been doing her job for 70 years.
Yeah.
God bless her. And so she's having a party. Well, she's having a lie down today because she had a party yesterday. So they wheeled her to the front of a balcony for a picture and wheeled her out again. Bless her. She's 93 or 96, maybe 96. And we expect the poor lady to, you know, still be doing her service. So there's a big event at St. Paul's Cathedral today, but She sent her apologies yesterday. It's a long way to travel. She's at Windsor Castle for our international viewers, and that's a bit of a journey by road to get into central London. So she sent her apologies. So the star attraction is not there. And who can blame her, really? She's been doing the job for 70 years and is not in the best of health. And so we wish her all the best. Surely it's time to, you know, hand over the reins, so to speak, to somebody else. Whether it's Charlie. No, she's always been very against that. So,
no scepter.
I don't know. So I would have. I think a few years ago, if I were her, I'd have given the gig to Charlie and said, "Go on, son, off you go, crack on. You can be king." But no, that's not. She's always said that she'll carry on. So so we have Thursday, yesterday, and today off here as holiday days, as bank holidays, and the weather's been glorious, and then a lot of street parties planned for Saturday and Sunday, and, you know, afternoon tea and cream cakes and all that, and the weather, unfortunately, looks pretty miserable, at least here on the South Coast for 2 days, so I feel bad for anyone who's planned a street party. But no, it's good to be back after missing you guys last week. I was in France and Spain, and when we're in France, not that I got to drive them because I had my little lad in tow, but that I came across a fleet of Citroën Amis, thought of Kyle as he's obsessed with them, and found a fleet of those parked on the street, which you could use a kind of a ride sharing app. You could download the app and drive a little Citroën Ami around. I was in Le Havre, in northern France, and I thought, oh, they're very cool. So I should have taken a picture and sent it to you. But that was as close as I got to going electric. But apart from that, no, good to be back.
All right. So thanks for slumming it with us today. Appreciate it. So I have all these questions for like Kyle and Tom in my notes. So I write up a bunch of notes before the show and so I'm really hoping Tom can join us. He was in, he's in Europe driving. Well, he put it on Twitter, so we can say he's been driving some XPeng vehicles, and you can check out his Twitter. It's at Tomolog with two M's, TOMMLOG. And yeah, he's got him a few pictures, I guess, of the XPengs up there. But really wanted to hear what's going on with that. This week we've had one of their executives on the show as a guest. And yeah, it's one of the Chinese companies that I think is, you know, has international ambitions, like for North America. I know they're already in Europe, right, Martin?
Yeah, and it's one of those companies that I think, you know, I get talked to a lot on my podcast about because they're one of the public companies that gets a lot of interest from people. Say, oh, why aren't you covering them more? You know, I hold stock and all that kind of stuff. And I've always said, like, my podcast is never, ever, ever meant to, or do I want it to be a financial podcast? Because there's some brilliant ones out there. And also, it's all a game that I don't understand. Things go up, things go down, and I don't get it. I don't hold stock in automotive, so I can't be compromised. But people talk to me a lot about XPeng, I think more for that reason than the vehicles. They're like, oh, why aren't you covering it more? If I criticize Tesla, people get very upset. Like, oh, you know, I've got all my savings in them. Like, well, of course you're going to be emotional about it. So that's why I get asked a lot about XPeng, I think. But not because people are driving them or et cetera, but we can see here, Tom is posting where he is, and he was going to join us today, but he got the sort of COVID protocols of going to, you know, doctors and things and making sure everyone's perfectly safe, which is very understandable if you're bringing people internationally. And I think that just, it might have coincided with Tom being here, so yeah. Totally respect that. Now Jan is someone that I caught up with 2-3 weeks ago and sat down and had a nice cup of coffee at Fully Charged Live. Now Jan is from eMobility Norway. He says, I've been driving a BYD Tang this week. It went 407.6 kilometers before I had to call the rescue truck to take me to a DC charger. What's that in old fashioned language?
There's a story there, right? Why did you run out of battery charge?
It's around this time of year when in Norway they do that massive group test of 30, 40, 50 cars, and they drive them till they stop. And I forget what it's called. Thank you, Simon. 240 miles. Yeah, that's pretty much spot on, isn't it? So yeah, that BYD Tang, 240 miles. And that's not an estimate. That's Jan driving it till it stops. So,
and the Tang, that's BYD's like small hatchback.
Yeah. So again, basically, that's Jan's in Norway, and this is where all these cars are going into first.
Right. So with no extra special co-host today, just Martin and I, we'll let the audience be our, y'all out there can be our co-host. So if you have questions or want to tell us something, like hop on the chat here and on YouTube and type away, let us know. So
it's a bigger, Dom, it's a bigger car than I thought it was. It's a bigger SUV than I realized.
Oh, that looks, yeah, that looks different from what I had in my head. Maybe it's, so, I like to see it beside good. Something because like, I saw, because
that's, just, that's kind of Model Y, ENIAC territory, ID4 territory, and to do 240 miles is, I don't know what battery size is in that. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like VW ID4 looks like from here. But so last week we were talking about BYD a little bit because they released, they had a new car come out with those very international looking, lines. Let me just run back to that. Oh, right, the BYD Seal, which is kind of like Model 3, like, right?
Yeah.
So I thought I saw a picture of the Tang and the Seal sort of together, and the Seal looks, you know, definitely smaller because the Seal is just a little bit bigger actually than the Model 3.
Mm.
But yeah. So I was going to talk about with Tom about the Chevrolet Bolt EV because he did a charge test with it this week. So the Bolt EV charges at a maximum of 50 kilowatts. So it's not like I was going to say barn burner of a charger.
You get the idea.
So I'm laughing because the Bolt EV just had a huge recall of every car that was made ever to have its battery replaced because there were some fires. So that fire joke was that fire joke was not intended really, but Liv Lee says that you guys are extra special, Dom. Well, thank you, Liv. Liv, if you want to jump on the podcast, let me know. I'll shoot you a link. That'd be great actually, because I did see you had a new position this week writing about cars, and I know you drive them a lot as you're part of the Mach-E social media group. I'm looking for the name of it. I feel so unprepared this morning. I apologize. So, right. So I want to talk to Tom about the Bolt EV charging because there's also big news around the Bolt this week. So the price has been slashed. I don't know if you heard about this, Martin, but the price was slashed from, it was like what started around like 31,000 or something before. They took $5,900 off the Bolt EV and $6,300 off the Bolt EUV. And so now the 2023 Chevrolet Bolt starts at $26,595, while the 2023 Chevrolet EUV starts at $28,195. And both of those prices include dealer freight and chargers of $995. And I'm not sure. Tom was saying like last year they were including a home charging unit with that, but we're not sure if that's included in the 2023, but that would be a great added value as well. But already that's so $26,000-ish with the extra little fee there included, $26,595. That is like right in the neighborhood. So I've been interested in buying a Bolt EV myself. And that's right around the price I thought it was actually, you know, a decent value, 25,000-26,000. I thought that's really the kind of car it is. And this is like the true price of the car now. I think it's just settling into this where it's supposed to be. So the Chevrolet Equinox, which I believe will debut later this year, this fall, is a little bigger than the Bolt. And it's going to have more range than the Bolt. It's on the Ultium platform. So it should be, it's just a more modern car on the modern platform. Mach-E vlog. That's the vlog. Liv, let us know if you want to join us.
The Bolt is a good deal at that price. I think the Bolt was a good deal at the old price. But can you explain to me you know, what is extra on top of that? So 26,595. Well, right. that's 20,000. That's 20,500 pounds sterling. So we have 20% VAT on consumer goods included in the price. Right. I think car dealers are allowed to add on something like the first year's road tax, but that would be free because EVs don't pay road tax or vehicle excise duty, as I should call it, really, not road tax. I think they can charge you for number plates about 20 quid. Probably they charge you for delivery to the dealership, be a few hundred quid. But at that price, at 26,595 in the US, what do you have to pay extra on top of that? Or is that the price you're walking out of the showroom?
You would have to pay state tax on that.
Which is, so wait, where you are, how much is that then?
7%, I believe.
That's fine then.
Right. And some states might have a different level of taxation for the, 7% is not bad compared to some places. So that's about, I mean, you have to pay for plates, I guess, too, but it's not like a crazy thing there like it is in Europe. You know, plates, I'm not really, you have a different system for license plates. They're like attached, I don't know. You can talk about it a little bit because I could never really understand it. But here, you know, you just go to the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, and, you know, you give them your license and your registration and stuff, and you have this car, you give them, I don't know, $75 maybe, and they give you a license plate, and you know, you stick it on your car, and once every year you get a little tax bill, and you stick a sticker on that on your license plate to show that you're, you know, you've registered your car again for this year, you're paid up.
Oh, okay, yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
Leonard says Bolt EUV is an insane deal with its range at that price. Yeah, there's nothing that's right. The Bolt is the new Leaf, isn't it? You know, for a long time we've been saying to people, look, if you don't need to road trip this thing, in other words, CHAdeMO's not an issue, although you've got a few more CHAdeMO charges in the US than we have. Then there's Rapid Gate. So if you are rapidly charging the car a lot, that heats up the battery. If it's hot ambient temperatures, the air isn't cooling it down, which is the only way that a Leaf battery cools down, then it charges very slowly when the battery gets hot. So if you do need to do a lot of road trips, the Leaf might not be optimal, but you can do it. But maybe the Bolt is the new Leaf. This is the new, you know, much better, great specs, and it's a car that is at the end of its life, so to speak, because, you know, Ultium batteries, Ultium platform is the shiny right. new thing from GM. Right. But we're always obsessed with the shiny new thing. But actually, as Leonard says, this is fantastic. That's so good. Boomer Bits says in the comments, I love my 2022 Bolt. Not happy about the 6K hit. I just took on my 3-week-old car. No.
Man. They can't do anything about that.
Equipped the way mine is, will cost about 30K next year. I paid 36K. That really stings, actually, because, of course, that drives down used prices as well. But that is, that's crazy good value. And again, like the fast charging speed at 50 kilowatts doesn't matter to so many people. I think that's fantastic. That's right. Brilliant.
So I've been thinking about selling my car because I got a crazy valuation from Carvana, or, you know, the Carvana or Vroom. There's a bunch of different services out there that buy your car or sell you a car. Mm-hmm. They gave me a crazy price. So,
as in good crazy.
Like, like much more than I paid for it.
You know? Oh, wow!
And it would put me some ways towards, you know, the Bolt price. And if I sold my pickup as well, then I'd be pretty set. Then I might not even have to take out a loan. Well, I'd probably have to take out a small loan. But, you know,
that's that great.
Be bad. I'd be able to go to the beach, and I'd have I'm going to have a Bolt next week, actually, to try out for a week and to review.
What spec are you getting? They're sending you a Bolt for a week. Which one?
That I do not know. It's like a surprise, I guess. I imagine it's going to be like a Premier, like a pretty nice one.
Right.
I'm hoping. And yeah, I don't know if anyone's got any suggestions of what I can do with that.
Yeah, do some tests. If anyone wants to see some tests in the Bolts, and then Dom has one for a week. Bobby says, massive credit to GM for lowering Bolt and EUV prices when literally everyone is jacking them up. And that's true. Right. Very true. All car prices have been very strong. They were great value. Now it's phenomenal. Yeah, well, I can put it back on the screen. And you know that, and that trim. So help me understand trim prices for the Bolt EV. So that 1LT trim, is that perfectly serviceable? Is that
going to get
the job done all right?
Yeah, that's the basic ones. But since so they just did a redo of the whole Bolt EV, and so now they redid the interior and exterior. Before, the interior was like really a lot of hard plastic, like a sea of plastic in front of you. But now there's like, it's very much like a nice modern car, soft touch materials here and there. I mean, it's not spectacular, but it's not, it's a lot nicer than it was. And it's a lot like nicer than what I have too.
And that's big enough for you to do what you need to do, you know, get around, do your chores and go on the occasional road trip.
So Liv, I sent you a link to your Twitter. I DM'd you on Twitter, the link to the show. So if you can hear me now, feel free to jump in anytime.
And Marty has a good point about the Bolt as well. A lot easier to find a 50 kilowatt charger than 150. Now that's a really good point. When you're driving an EV that can charge very quickly and you find a 50 kilowatt charger, you're almost let down or disappointed. So hopefully everyone that's buying, you know, shiny fast charging cars are going to be hunting down those high power chargers and leaving lots of lots of lovely 50 kilowatt units for Bolt owners. Learning Fast in the comments says about how crazy prices are. Carvana offering 64K for a this year Model 3 Performance that he paid 59K for 7 months ago. Not sure many cars that aren't classic cars that you can sell and make $5,000 profit and drive the thing for seven months.
So Kushal says they didn't lower out of the kindness of their heart. They couldn't sell them and would be sitting on their inventory.
Is that your experience? Because you've been you are shopping for one right now. Is that your experience of dealers saying, "Oh, no one wants one"?
No, well, they advertise them on sites, and then you call them, and then there's not really a car there. So it's like these ghost cars because they're having their batteries replaced. So a lot of dealers don't really have them available to sell.
Wow.
So I don't think there's like there's no inventory of them sitting around anywhere because in today's market they'd be snapped up, you know. And I'm still worried about, even with this price drop, about being able to find one at MSRP. Mm. That's still not, you know. So I was starting to mention earlier. So the Equinox is being shown to us this year, and that's going to fill in that price slot, that 30,000 neighborhood, you know, $30,000 to $34,000, you know, price range. And it's, you know, it'll be like the new Bolt basically. Mm. And the Equinox is a hugely popular vehicle here. It's just, you know, it's the right size, it's a good value. And at $30,000 in electric form is going to be, I think it's going to be pretty amazing. So anyway, they couldn't sell the Bolt at that same price. And, you know, so they definitely had to bring that price down. I was a little surprised they did it this early. I thought they'd wait a little bit longer, but yeah, I'm good to see it. And I really hope that we can take advantage of it. I think maybe GM was worried because of the big battery recall that they wouldn't sell as quickly or as easily as, you know, some of the other cars.
Yeah.
But yeah, at this price, I don't see how they could not sell them.
I'm trying to remind myself of all the various specs for anyone that might need reminding, you know, as well. Bombarded by numbers sometimes. 65 kilowatt hour battery. Yep, all good. 150 kilowatt motor. That's 200 horsepower equivalent. Range 260 miles. Yeah, I mean, that's
okay. 259. Yeah,
it's all good. Yeah, reminding myself of the specs on that. It's What a great car for that. What a great car for the money. Just brilliant. Now, but you just can't get one. That's the thing.
Right.
Like you are literally shopping for one right now, and the dealers are, you call them up and it's gone. So
right. I mean, I haven't gone crazy like calling up all the dealers because, you know, trying to like, it's like a big jump, you know, sell your car and then can you find another car in time? Because I can't go and buy this car without having like the money from that sale to put down on the next car, you know?
Mm. I mean, well, Christian Richard in the comments says, I contacted an Austin dealership for an EUV and they've been pestering him. So maybe just widen widen the net a little bit, Dom, and just start hitting the phones and getting a great deal now that new pricing is out.
Right. Yeah. No, I really need to like bite the bullet, like take the leap, as it were. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's like a big purchase, and it's a little hard for me to get my head around. It's a lot of money for me. Yeah. So, Liv, I don't know if you could get that link I sent to your Twitter feed. I don't see you in here. I'm hoping that was your Twitter feed.
you sent a studio link to somebody random.
Right. I mean, Olivia Lay, which I believe is Liv.
There you go. Okay. But yeah, some fascinating comments how that's a great car for the price if you live in a city. Yeah, you know, road tripping is something that is something that is so much less popular here, or rather it's just not part of our kind of culture of, you know, driving such long miles that you do. But the MG ZS that we've had 6 months now, maybe 7 months, with a 44 kilowatt hour battery. That's gross. I think it's low 40s usable. It does us absolutely fine, because if you've got destination charging, and often we have, I'm going to see friends, family, you know, we've got a trip to a holiday camp, or kind of a holiday park, if you like, in a few weeks' time. They've got destination charging there. Only 4 chargers, but that's all we need. We're off to Center Parks, which is kind of a chain of kind of cabins in the woods type thing. And as long as we can turn up there with, I don't know, 5% left, and my wife isn't stressed, 10% left, you got destination charging. You don't need these massive, massive batteries. And ultimately, you know,
Did you just say you're going on holiday in a couple of weeks?
Oh yeah, we are. Sorry.
I want to live in Europe, man.
That cliche about Europeans taking a lot of holiday is absolutely true. So, I like 26 days statutory or something, and bank holidays, and that's not even France. But cool.
So, Liv and Patrick are here, so let me just add them on. Hey, Liv.
Hey,
we can hear you and everything. That's great. Patrick's here.
Patrick's here.
Awesome. Hey, good morning.
Hey, you guys. So together, you guys are the Maki Vlog sort of thing. So you have you have a YouTube channel. Just give us a little rundown of the history of your channel, so we know who. Yeah.
So it's sort of our history of our Maki, because we saw the Maki at the LA Auto Show right after it was announced in 2019. And I put in an order or a reservation while we were there.
It was just going to be so that we could get in the vehicle right then, you know, check it out. But that's how they get you.
Right.
I was like, this is actually a fantastic car. And as we were leaving the auto show, I was like, you know, it would be really cool is if we started a YouTube channel about that. So I didn't do it immediately, but I did it the day after I actually converted my reservation to an order. And I thought, you know, nobody's really going to watch this stuff. But like I had like 1,000 views on I ordered a Mach-E, and people wanted news. They wanted information. So they were doing like road trips and, you know, joining up with Out of Spec with Kyle to do stuff since he's only about 85 miles from us. So it's been great.
Yeah, like Nathan Green just said, we got to do that race to Vegas and then we kind of mosey back, which is close at the same time, actually.
So, had you done any like YouTube stuff before this?
Yes. So we both, sort of casually, we both really liked sort of documenting stuff. So we did a travel adventure channel that was really bad. No one watched it, but we had a lot of fun.
Okay.
So we just found our first road trip video that we sort of made, and it was actually 4 years ago, like this past weekend. And I think I had 53 views total since this past 4 years.
Right. I did a bunch of YouTubing, like when YouTube like first came out, like the first couple of years or something, like in the 2000s.
Oh, wow.
But I had like a really bad camera, and I was just, you know, taking videos of this stuff and throwing it on YouTube because wasn't getting a whole lot of views or anything. But it was just kind of whatever, fun to share with, you know, my friends or extended family, or, you know, just to have that out there. So if I go back now and look through the pictures, they're all like, looks like they've been shot with a potato. And it's kind of embarrassing, but I could take it down, I guess, but I lived up there.
They're good memories. Good memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you're getting some views now. You got 6,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
So have you driven anything besides the Mach-E recently?
Well, we drove a gas car because our Mach-E was getting the roof replaced. So yeah, that was fun.
Oh, your glass roof?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Well, it didn't get replaced. They had some of the early Mach-Es have a recall on the windshield and glass roof seal. So they replaced my windshield because it was actually cracked when they did the recall, but they resealed the glass roof. But it was fun going back into a gas car again.
Not fun. You get really pampered in electric. Like,
what gas car was it?
Ford Escape.
Oh, yeah. It's Mr. Personality. When I think of Ford Escape, it's a joke. It's like there's nothing there. It's like,
yeah.
Anyway. I'm glad you guys are here because Dominic said, "Can we talk about Buick?" And I'm like, that means so little to me. It's not a brand that we have. So you can chip in on this because I'm nowhere. I can tell you what the specs, what I think of the specs, but as a brand, as a name, there's no history, no heritage here. So I'm delighted that you're here because you can give us your opinion on these Buick stories that Dominic, I know you're pretty keen on next.
We'll talk about the Buick in a second, but so I just want to give them a living pat a chance to talk about their Mach-E a little bit more. So how long ago it's been? How long have you had it now?
We bought it March 2nd of last year. So
a little over a year.
And sort of the exciting news for us is in about 10 days, our Mach-E GT is being built.
And wow.
You trade it in for a Mach-E GT performance
edition. And that is entirely Kyle's fault.
Yeah.
Went to the media summit. We drove it. It's his fault. We should send him the bill.
Yeah. I told Kyle afterwards that was the most expensive media summit ever for us because I literally, like, we went there. It was beginning of December. And I think I came back. We got back on Sunday night. And by Monday, I had an order in for a GT performance edition.
Right. Wow. So I was at the same media summit event with y'all and I got to meet you there. It was great. We got to drive the Mach-E, which I had driven a little bit before, they had a regular Mach-E and then they had the Mach-E GT performance with like the nice Magna Ride suspension and everything. And that really fixes like so much for that car. It's like, I like it anyway, regardless, just like in regular form, it's all right. But man, with the in GT spec, it's like, yeah, this is good.
The Magnaride does fix so much, and that's really one of the biggest reasons why we're doing this switch. And I mean, it's a fun car anyways. Like we have the first edition, so it's basically like a premium extended range all-wheel drive.
Nice.
It's good for us, you know, like driving around town. It's fast enough. It's not like I'm ripping up the canyons every weekend like Kyle does, you know. So for us, the GT Performance Edition will just be fun to have, but the Magnaride just makes it a lot nicer, even for daily use.
It's like a whole different car.
Right. So besides that, Liv, I understand that you got a new job or gig or something this week, writing.
I did. I am now writing with a Girl's Guide to Cars.
Guide to Cars.
Oh, indeed, which Martin was bringing up because it was about Buick and the Wildcat EV concept that they released.
Right.
So, yay.
So did you cover that story this week?
I did, yeah.
Okay. So, I have a whole intro kind of thing I wrote about that. So let me go through that real quick right now, sort of introduce the story to people. We've heard about a fair amount about the electric plans of all the brands of General Motors, except for Buick at this point. That all changed a couple of days ago when it was revealed, some new concepts and outlined its EV strategy going forward. The big news, I guess, is that the brand will be all electric by 2030. And that's the same time frame as Cadillac, and 5 years earlier than Chevrolet and GMC. So that's pretty awesome. So Buick is an interesting brand. It wasn't killed off like Oldsmobile and Pontiac because it was popular in China. So it's been around with us, but it hasn't had a huge presence in North America, I don't think. Buick held a call with the press the other day. And at the very beginning, they referred to referred to themselves as a premium SUV brand. And then it revealed the Wildcat concept, which is not an SUV at all, but a coupe or coupe, if you want to be fancy. So there's a lot going on here, but I'll try to summarize it all up. So Buick will begin launching electric vehicles in the U.S. based on the Ultium platform starting in 2024. The Buick nomenclature for model names will be Electra, which is an old Buick model name, followed by an alphanumeric. So maybe we'll see like Electra S1 or something like that, or who knows. So the exterior and interior design will use the design language that's found in the Wildcat, and it will be unique to the brand. So there's not going to be like badge engineering, that you won't see like a Chevrolet with a Buick badge on it. It'll be every car is going to have its own unique styling and design. And the lineup may include vehicles that are not SUVs. But I don't think you'll find a coupe. So while it showed the Wildcat here this week, it showed the Electra X concept in China. And that's a sporty looking crossover SUV that sits. It also sits on the Ultium platform, and it will be built in China, or at least the production version of it will be. Now, during the call with journalists, Buick said that stylistically, it will have a cohesive feel across the global market, but I'm not seeing a lot of similarities. I don't know, Martin, if you can show us a bit of the other link there, the Electra X concept.
Sure thing.
Yeah. I'm not seeing a whole lot of shared anything stylistically between these two, like the Wildcat and the Electra X. Let's see. They both have, except for the steering wheel, right? They both have like these future retro looking steering wheels. They're not identical, but they look like they've definitely came from the same like design brief, you know, like we want you to, you know, make a steering wheel that kind of recalls what you might have seen in the car in the 60s or possibly the late 50s, but, you know, stylized. So it looks like a modern wheel, but it just has that. I don't know, Martin, can you describe what's going on, or Patrick or Liv, with that steering wheel?
Well, it looks like they both have sort of that two-thirds sweeping dash and then the floating console. That seems the same between both of them, which is nice, at least, between the Electra and the Wildcat. But like you said, there's not a ton of similarities outside. Like even the headlights that they made a big deal about in the Wildcat are different.
Right. So the Wildcat does have a few touches that I like. It's got the, if we can go back to the Wildcat.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I can see some design elements from the past. They brought out back the blacked out A-pillars that they use that on the Buick Riata, which it was like a early 90s coupe. It's got a very similar kind of look going on with that kind of like a wraparound windshield. And with the blacked out A-pillars in the front there, it looks like it just kind of seamlessly wraps around the front. And it's like gives it like almost like a floating roof kind of thing going on in the front. And then out back, the curve of the roof line and the back of it kind of puts me in mind of the early 70s Riviera coupes. Those were the ones with the big like boat tail rear ends. This one's got the odd taillights on the back. So yeah, this is another place where this concept and the Electra X that they showed in China differ quite a bit. The back taillights on the Wildcat, they kind of like come in and they swoop up along the inside of the glass on the hatch of the roof. It kind of puts me in mind of like a lot of Volvo station wagons. Kind of, there's a nice silhouette, and there's the back taillight if you're watching this on YouTube or Twitch. Yeah. And it's got the three basic lines composing the taillight itself, which is kind of the Buick emblem has three different like badges, which comes historically from the founder's family. What do you call those? The shield, Martin, over there? The family emblem crest.
Yeah. Okay. Crest. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that's the Buick crest is actually the elements of that are borrowed from the founders, Mr. Buick. I forget his first name, but his family crest. So that's a lot of information. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts about this Buick debut or strategy, Liv?
Well, I really hope that they bring some of this to reality. Just looking at the rear taillights, I know they mentioned that they were going to have some sort of external charging indicator, which that in the Mach-E is something that we're envious of. So I wonder if like something as visible as the rear taillights would like light up or indicate what the charging is doing. And they're so visible that I think that would be really cool. I sent this concept to my family in London, and my aunt, she's like really into yoga and stuff. And she was really excited about some of the more software stuff that they talked about, like biometric breathing and heart rate stuff, that we just don't know what they would do with that really and how realistic it is. But it's interesting and exciting. And it's like the last thing that I thought someone would be interested in looking at the article, but she was really excited about that. And it makes sense. So it was like Buick talked about how the car would sense your breathing, sense your heart rate. And if you're getting really stressed out, it could like adjust the cabin to respond to you. So like maybe adjust the temperature, or which I think might make some people uncomfortable, like Big Brotherish, but
right.
I love.
Right. I think Cadillac has a similar concept with some of their ideas going forward, where the car kind of adapts itself to you. So it picks up all these things and, you know, learns your routine with AI, and then, you know, infuses the car with a certain sense at certain times, or and it would know your heart rate and different things like that. And but I don't know how it uses that information to interact, but I guess Buick is doing some of that same thing. So
Ivan has a good point in the comments about the hood being huge, and it is a very conventional concept car kind of image, and often these don't get too far towards production, although we've seen with EVs actually everything from, you know, the BMW i3 10 years ago to Kia EV6, Hyundai Ioniq 5. A lot of the concepts have been making their way to production, but why would you have that massive hood out the front unless you're putting in a big combustion engine? You know, the form of many vehicles has followed function for the last 100 years, and we can rethink things with electric vehicles, or at least there's the opportunity to rethink things. But there are some angles where it doesn't look quite so big. I guess there's one here that makes it look a little more stubby, or at least a little less huge. Right. But still, I'm not so sure. I don't know. I mean, they have pushed the wheels out to all four corners, maximum internal space, things like that. But it still doesn't need to look like that. There's nothing that you'd have to put under that bonnet.
Right. Well, I really don't think they're going to bring this to the market. Like they're just using this to show off like this the styling of the brand going forward, like the design language. So, but by giving us the coupe concept, I think they're signaling that they will be open to other types of vehicles besides just SUVs. But coupes are just something that, you know, automakers are not making anymore. They do it, they'll make coupe looking to cars, but they'll give them four doors. So no two-door Wildcat coming, I'm afraid. I mean, if I was them, I'd consider, you know, like an actual like car, Wildcat car, because it's a great name for one. It's a great heritage. I don't know how many of you all out there remember the Buick Wildcat from the 60s, but you know, it had its niche and its fans, and it's got, you know, it's a great name. And actually I think it captures some of the feel of that car from the 60s in this concept. But
right. Yeah. I think Buick's in an interesting position among the legacy brands that are trying to make the transition to EVs, and somebody mentioned in the chat the average age, I think, of Buick owners is about 42. So I think it's sort of, they're in this interesting position of like, they can't just like switch their SUVs and make them EV and everybody's going to be excited about it. I think they sort of have to like reinvent themselves a bit as they make the transition as well, to be exciting, to be something that a younger set would even consider. I don't know what the stats are for people that are buying EVs. I know like with the Mach-E, it's actually quite a older set than I would have imagined.
Oh, really? Okay.
Just informal survey of people in the Mach-E forums. But I think in general, we sort of see EVs like as the appealing to the younger mindset, the newer way of thinking. So I think that's what Buick's trying to do with the doing the coupe, even though they're going to probably stick with SUVs.
Right. I feel like the forum audiences are a little older anyway, so that might be skewing your results somewhat, because I run the Inside EVs forum, and you know, I think our demographic tends to be a little bit older than maybe the general car buying public. I mean, a lot of younger people will be on Facebook groups, and some people are on both, you know, because they're both good resources. But yeah, so
we'd have to go on EV TikTok probably.
That's right. Ah, man, TikTok. I was trying to get TikTok. It's a whole other world. I wanted to stream us live on TikTok and setting it up. I need to reinvestigate, because they weren't letting everybody stream live on TikTok before, but maybe they are now. But yeah, it's the TikTok world just sucks me in when I start like checking it out. I'm stuck there for a good hour looking at whatever, everything.
You start out looking at cars, and then you're looking at a corgi wiping the floor.
And then I'm trying to learn some dance moves, you know.
Really?
No, not really. All right. So do we want to talk about something else then? So the DeLorean is back to the future. sorry. That is, of course, the company that made the car that Hollywood turned into a traveling time machine, or time traveling machine. It was only in production for 2 years, and they've built like 9,000 of them. But it's like an iconic car, the DeLorean. And so, but fast forward 40 years, and the company has showed off its first product since the original. It's designed by Ital Design. The company, the concept is called the Alpha 5. And it's a 2+2 Grand Tour. So two seats up front, two seats in the rear. It has, as one might expect, gullwing doors. But aside from that, and louvers on the back window, it's pretty different from the original vehicle. The Alpha 5 seems to be the first in a series of vehicles. Let's see, one sec while I cough. Range is 300 miles, and acceleration is a 3 second 0-60. So this will debut publicly in August at Pebble Beach, and production is planned for 2024 at Ital Design Automobili Speciali. So that's a facility, I guess, in probably Italy. I'll go out on a limb and say. And only 88 vehicles are planned. Of course, 88 miles an hour is like the magic speed at which they have to hit to jump through time. So other vehicles from the brand are said to include an electric sedan, a hydrogen SUV, and a V8 coupe. So this is where DeLorean kind of loses me. Like, the capital involved in making three different powertrains is like ridiculously huge, and I think unworkable. I think, sure, if you're going to sell like vehicles in small numbers with like 7-digit price tags, that could work, but that's like supercar, you know, territory, like price wise. And I'm not sure like the brand has that sort of cachet. It's like, it wants to be like a 5-star restaurant, but everyone thinks it's like Benihana's, you know, it's a little more mass market. So I don't know. Liv and Patrick, anything here gets your attention from DeLorean?
Well, I mean, they've been hyping it for so long. I was excited for them to finally announce it. But to be honest, it's like, it's less than what I expected. I mean, it just sort of, I thought it was, I don't know, going to be a, maybe sort of have more of that retro callback to the original DeLorean besides just the gull wings. But as you said, like with their whole portfolio that they're talking about, it just sort of changes what DeLorean is all about. Like, DeLorean is like a small specialty manufacturer. And to try to, like, we're going to be much more than that seemed like a stretch. And we all know how hard it is, you know, all these other EV companies that are starting up, no one's really done extremely well for a long period of time. So I have my doubts.
Right. It's hard to start a car company, even like, yeah, there's like, we have Tesla, of course, which is on pretty good, but it's, you know, it's had its challenges, like big challenges. And all those are paying off really, really well. But, and we have Rivian, which is, you know, it's going pretty good, but it's got its challenges as well. It's struggling with a few things, and Lucid is like So those are like three, and it's, man, those are like, yeah, they're actually delivering cars. So that's a pretty big deal, but it's not easy. There's been lots of companies that haven't made it over this last 10 years too, like dozens. I'm pretty sure we could sit down and come up with a couple of dozen before too long. So yeah, you want to be like specialized, right? A little bit. You're like, this is our technology. We're especially good at making like an electric powertrain, you know, but if you have to spread that expertise over electric powertrain, hydrogen powertrain, and a V8, you know, internal combustion, and then what's the point of what's your focus of the company? I mean, V8s, they're not going to be around much longer. And who knows if hydrogen will ever take off, right? So I don't know. I don't understand why they're, you know, deviating when they should be like really like laser focused on this, doing this one thing really well, and then maybe spreading it over a few different models. I don't know.
Yeah, because they're going to be massively, if you're making 88 vehicles, they're massively expensive vehicles. Right. So do one thing and do it really well. Find 88 people. First of all, find someone to make the vehicle for you, the way that Fisker are doing it with their vehicles, a bit on a different scale, right? So they've got
Tal Design is going to do that for them.
Right. So they've got Tal Design to put the vehicle together. So find a company that are very good at assembly, right? And supply chain that can bring stuff in. And then sell 88 of them for $1 million each. And you're off and away. You probably made a few quid at the end of it for owning the license to use the DeLorean name, which means nothing to anyone apart from Back to the Future. And make, just do one thing. Just do 88 pure electric vehicles that are interesting and niche, and there will be 88 millionaires in the world somewhere that can add this to their collection because it's interesting, and they may appreciate in value, or they may depreciate, you don't know. But just be really super focused. Nathan says 175 grand is what I heard. I haven't read any numbers around pricing. Look, you're making 88 vehicles, then they have to be in the millions. Like what are you doing apart from just making a ton of noise? Which is, as we've said already, is what they've been very, very good at. And that's fine, because in EV world, all we had to talk about for years was a lot of jam tomorrow. But now we've got a ton of stuff happening every day with real cars that are on the roads, as you said, from startups that are shipping stuff and having their own issues. So I think it's fun. I think it's a curiosity. I don't understand the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Alpha 5 reference, or I don't know what the name is. Like, why is it called Alpha 5? Am I being thick?
No, I think they probably missed a good opportunity there to, you know, cash in a bit more on the DeLorean lore somehow.
Something like call it the Flux or something. But yeah. Alpha 5 was the name of the robot in Power Rangers. Is that a coincidence, or is there just a massive Power Rangers fan at DeLorean? I don't understand it. It could be a coincidence. It's a very specific name to be a coincidence. So what's the Power Rangers connection? I don't know, but it's interesting. But I wouldn't spend a lot more time on brain time on it until they sell them.
Yeah, I was thinking you said 1 million. I was thinking like 2 million. So I mean, 175,000. That would be. That'd be a great price, but I don't know how they could ever possibly do it at that, because they're like basically going to hand make them, and that's an expensive process with a, you know, 100 kilowatt hour battery, so it's huge. I'm not sure. Do we have a lot of info on the specs of this?
They can say anything, can't they? At this stage, they can just say stuff.
Right. Yeah, 300 miles and 3 seconds 0-60. I mean, it's a good looking car, but the doors are extra wide because they give you access to the back seat as well. So just the engineering of that, like the struts, I just see that being like a fail point. You know,
that's a very expensive bit of engineering to make that work.
And then have that opening, that huge opening as well. So for crash safety, that's a challenge to engineer that so it's safe in the crash as well. I mean, there's a lot going on that, you know, man, to make this, to commercialize this design, it's going to be a challenge. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's want to talk about something else then.
BMW.
Are we done with DeLorean?
Should we talk about BMW?
Now we have one on Mach-E. What do you have off to Vegas now?
9,000.
9,000, not that much.
Not that much.
You've had it for a year. You've put only 9,000 miles on it?
Yeah.
So Kyle, you mentioned this the other day. He's had that Revel RV camper for like a year, and he's put like 20,000 miles on it somehow. Like, yeah. That's like double like what you guys did, or what I would do in like a normal year on his like weekend sometimes vehicle.
Yeah, this is his I haven't driven it in 3 months because I've been test driving cars van. He leaves back at home. And he's, yeah. And he was gonna wow. Was he gonna join us by a Starlink or something? Was that last week?
He was, yeah. He was going to try to join us by Starlink this week, and I believe
that's a shame.
Saying that it wasn't working in Alaska or something.
I think it's too far north where he's at now.
Sorry?
I think he's too far north for the satellite coverage right now.
Oh. He's in the Arctic Circle, isn't he, now? So,
close, yeah.
That's a shame.
We have the benefits of we're both working from home 100% since the pandemic, and it's continued, so we haven't driven our Mach-E as much as we thought when except we ordered fun. It except for fun. So like literally like most of our miles are road trip miles,
right?
Wow.
And if we had more time off, we'd take more road trips.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the BMW iX1. So unlike the other two vehicles, this is not a concept vehicle. However, it's not in the U.S. that I know of. That I don't believe it's going to come to the U.S. So this is the electric version of the X1. BMW revealed it this week. And it looks very similar to the regular X1. There's already a gas version. There's at least one plug-in hybrid version, possibly two. Martin, this is like more your territory, I guess. So as far as I know, this has a 66.5 kilowatt hour battery in it.
Yeah.
That's gross. So maybe, I don't know, 60-ish net. So that gives it a WLTP range of 272 miles, which I imagine would be closer to 260 in the real world. And 313 horsepower. So, you know, should have plenty of pep. I don't know. What else can you tell us about the X1, Martin?
Well, look, it's the same size battery, give or take, to something like the existing Kona, and that will do 300 miles, give or take, depending on the weather and how you're driving it. And so, and it depends how they engineer this as well. And that's the really interesting thing that I find about BMW is, and I said this on my podcast recently, is BMW are so half pregnant on EVs, which I don't understand because they had such an early lead. You could say the same thing about Nissan as well, by the way. In that reference, I was talking about the BMW i7 because the BMW i7 looks like the 7 Series. And again, we've talked about why does form follow function? Why does it need to look like it? And the head of design, I think, at BMW said to one of the car magazines, we've made it look the same because we didn't want the choice to either be between luxury and space. And I'm like, I don't understand. Doing a dedicated EV platform gives you space and allows you to have luxury. They're like, oh, we've made the i7 look exactly the same as a 7 Series because we didn't want, you know, any compromises. Well, it's an inherent compromise that BMW are doing. And they've been prevaricating on a single message on EVs, and it depends what exec is talking at the time, and that's the hugely frustrating thing. And I see Mercedes do the opposite, and I really admire the way that Mercedes do it, and they get a kicking because with the EQS and the EQE, straight up, you know, S-class luxury, E-class luxury, but on a dedicated platform that is a single focus. This is an electric car, and they're really good for it. And they say, oh, I don't like the way it looks. The front's not, I wouldn't buy one of those because of the front. It's like, hey, if you're, I don't think you're in the market, my friend, for buying one anyway. But with BMW, they've taken a car that looks like the iX and they've made it electric. Now, that doesn't mean it can't be great because, like I say, to come full circle, the Kona, the eNiro, built on a platform that is a platform designed to take either batteries or hybrid or combustion. So those platforms can work because they're designed to accommodate multiple powertrains, but they've got to be really good. So we'll wait and see. I think 272 miles is good. I don't see that as a bad result because this isn't a dedicated electric vehicle. And for a lot of people, I should say as well, for a lot of people, they don't want something that looks like an EV or doesn't look funky or doesn't draw attention to yourself. They've driven, I don't know, the last three cars have been an iX, and then they go and get a new lease and they're like, oh, this one's electric. Yeah, 300 miles. That's cool. I'll get one of these. So because it looks very conventional, that'd be my take anyway. Oh, you're muted, Dom.
two words for you, Martin. BMW i4. So this is like, to play the devil's advocate, so BMW has got like the iX on a dedicated platform, but then a lot of their other stuff, they're sharing platforms, you know, with electric and gas cars, which generally, you know, you think it's not going to be a great idea, but you look at the BMW i4 and it's like, it's pretty good. I mean, on paper, it doesn't look like it's really competitive with the Tesla Model 3. And on paper, you would think it doesn't quite live up to the Tesla Model 3. But in real life, I mean, it looks like a lot of people actually prefer it over the car. This is the driving dynamics. And even though it's heavier, and it's just like, you know, they like the feel of it on the inside, the interior, the exterior styling is very traditional kind of BMW to my mind. And people like it. And you know, people go back and forth on the styling of the Model 3. You know, some of them look great, I think, and some of them, you know, just kind of ordinary. But, you know, a few touches kind of make some, you know, some lowering springs or some bigger wheels and look kind of nicer. But anyway, so all that is just to say that the BMW shared platform isn't as bad as, you know, some of us might have expected, actually. So this could be pretty good. Do we know the price of this?
I don't know the price because this would be European pricing as well.
Yeah, right. Pricing details to come. But I was excited and was hoping this was coming to the U.S. because I thought it might be more in the price range that we're looking at for a second EV. But it's not coming to the U.S., which is another disappointing European model that's not making it to the U.S. shores.
What sort of neighborhood price-wise are you looking at?
I mean, you know,
we got some suggestions.
I'm looking at the Bolt, like 30 personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of price range. But I know someone in the chat mentioned, I think Nathan was saying that this isn't worth it for the price for 270 miles, but the Audi e-tron is way less, right? Isn't that like 230 miles?
I'm not sure what the
which one, sorry?
The e-tron, the regular Audi e-tron.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's down like
range. So
225, 230, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a fine range.
But that's a lot more expensive too than a $30,000 Bolt.
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, we definitely want to go lower budget. Yeah. I mean, we talked about a
ID4.
ID4.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally like the old BMW i3s, personally. I like the little pandas.
I do like the pandas, yeah.
They're cute.
Yeah, I see them in town sometimes. And, like, that's... and I almost bought one, too. I was looking at them, and I just didn't like I just felt kind of weird behind the wheel. I was just like, spatially, it was like, I felt like the Scion XB a little bit, the old one. It just felt, inside this kind of box somehow. I don't feel really connected, but... You know, this might end up, I didn't get to drive it very fast at all. It was like just really slow through some neighborhood. It's like test driving somebody's car. And then I thought, if something breaks, I'll have to pay like BMW parts prices. So that's like an issue for someone like on a tight budget, you know? So that's why I tend to buy domestic brands because I know parts are going to be cheaper. Yeah.
Fair.
All right. So are we done with BMW iX?
Yeah.
There's a couple more things we can get to. We've got some time.
Okay. So do we want to talk about the Aura Funky Cat?
I mean,
I kind of do just because it's called the Aura Funky Cat.
So in China, I think there are three of them, I think, anyway, and they're called different cats. I think there's the good cat and the funky cat and maybe the bad cat. There's three of them in China. And then over here...
Is the Volkswagen one?
Yeah, And then when they launched it over here, it was just called the Aura Cat, which was a bit of a weird name. And now, without really saying why or even addressing it, they just put the press release out saying, hey, pricing is out for the Funky Cat. And I'm like, oh, great. So the car's called a different thing now. Nice of you to tell us. Maybe they did. Maybe I missed it on my holidays. But this is, and I was in one at Fully Charged, a very small car. Okay. I think you are cross-shopping a Renault Zoe. I think you're cross-shopping a Fiat 500. This right. is a bit bigger than a Fiat 500. But yeah, okay. not much. I think it's a little deceptive in the pictures as well. And I haven't got the specs here, the exact sizes. But it is a very small car. And so what's the pricing? $30,495.
Right. It's like $38,530 US.
It's really expensive for that.
That's a lot for a Chinese car that doesn't have any history in the market, I think. I don't know, Liv, what you guys are talking about it.
I agree. That's really expensive considering it's almost like mini electric, which...
Yes, mini electric, same size.
Yeah, so it's like $8,000 too expensive, but it's so cute.
But it is kind of cute.
Expensive, yeah.
I like the punk cat. Looks like the old BMW, Volkswagen Beetles. This one has a little bit of that old Volkswagen, like almost Karmann Ghia kind of thing going on in the front a little bit. But take the front bumper off the Karmann Ghia, and it's got that little bit of that going on. But
I liked it. I forget the color scheme. It might have been this color scheme in it. This was a show car. It felt well put together. I enjoyed being in it. I liked it. It made me smile. That's really important with a car called Funky Cat. It did feel good, but the rear was very small, and it did feel perhaps like a 22,000 to 24,000 pound car. Maybe right. for the real top spec, loaded up with everything, all the options, maybe a 25,000 pound car. You'd hope to get maybe the base one at 19,995, and that's your headline, isn't it? Less than 20K or a number that begins with one. And I liked it. I really liked it. But the minute you start saying, well, this is £30,000 for a Chinese brand that you've never heard of, and I'm sure there will be, they're talking about a hybrid mix of being able to do online stuff and physical stuff, because obviously things break, all machines break, so you've got to get them fixed somewhere. They're talking about networks of places to, you know, to get them fixed, and that's all good, but for a lot of people it's a jump into the unknown. Saying that, we own an MG that my wife drives 9 times out of 10, and she cares not where that MG ZS is made. And I sort of mentioned before we bought it, oh hey, it's made by SAIC in China, they're a massive manufacturer in China. She's like, oh yeah, I said, but it's the MG badge and MG is famous. And she's like, yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. That's cool. She's not immune to those facts. But there's an MG garage at the end of our road. There's hundreds of MG garages in the UK. And it did go, as you know, we've talked about it. It did go back under warranty because it filled up when it rained. The boot was full of water. I was like, there we go, MG. Can you please fix it? And dry it out while you've got it. And they did. And they said it was a seal, but didn't tell me what seal, but it's all done under warranty. And she cared not what it was, but I suspect that if there wasn't an MG garage at the end of our or dealership at the end of our road, and I'm saying, well, let's spend £30,000 on this, as cute as it looks for a very small city car from a name you don't know, it's a bit like almost buying a custom car or a niche car. You know, if I said to her, let's buy a Caterham. Yeah, something interesting and hand-built-y. She's like, what on earth are you talking about? I've never heard that name before.
A Caterham or a Caterham is like the old Lotus 7 from the 60s, basically design. It's just for people
something like that. So something interesting and hand-built-y. Let me show for our international viewers what Caterhams are. There you go.
Yeah, well, you're fast.
Oops,
yeah.
Sorry.
There you go. Awesome, something actually.
Interesting, kind of, you know, low numbers of, you know, of something that's very, very good, but she would never have heard of that car, right. Which is where Aura Cat sits with her. So I don't know. I think they're optimistic with pricing.
So this thing has a 48 kilowatt hour battery and has a WLTP range of 193 miles. That's not great models compared to what's on the market, but so how would this compare to like the Honda E? Is a Honda E cheaper than this?
Honda E is more expensive and smaller.
Wow. So I guess, I don't know if maybe they were looking at that part of the equation, but I think Honda E is kind of, I don't know. They probably sell everyone they make though, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh yeah. 100%. Simon points out it's 4.2 meters long. So not in terms of length, not a small car, although it felt very small inside. You know, I never lifted the boot. It could have a massive boot inside it, a bit like the Renault Zoe. It's a bit of a TARDIS. You can get loads in there. But yeah, I don't know. Oh, speaking of which, by the way, massive digression. We sold our Renault Zoe earlier this week. So congratulations to the new owners, who I don't know who you are, because I gave it to my buddy Richard Simons at RSEV. He sells EVs. He's 20 minutes from me. So I said, can you sort that out for me? He said, yes, of course. And so that was gone in no time. And I've not asked about the details of who bought it. I guess it's not a secret, but he said, they're kind of local to you. You might see it driving around. So, so we are in the market for another EV right now. And so we have a pot of cash that arrived this week, now ready to be spent on our next car. And it would not be the Funky Cat at that price.
So what are you looking at? What are you looking at?
I think used Kona. I think an 18-month-old Kona with a 64-kilowatt-hour battery for about 31,000, I think.
£31,000. That's
yes.
37,000.
Yeah. Probably premium SE spec. And then you've got to add another couple of thousand if you want to get a used one with the ultimate spec, which was the refresh, I think, which will be on a maybe 18-month-old car.
I still haven't driven one of those. I've sat in them, but I haven't driven one. Have you driven the Kona?
We did. No, we drove the Kia equivalent.
The e-Niro. I love the e-Niro. My wife doesn't like the... She thinks it was like an estate car or a wagon. I'm like, it's not. It's a crossover SUV type thing, but she's ruled it out.
Yeah, no, I like the Kia Niro and the Hyundai Kona. I think they're sort of like great transition cars for people that they don't know, they're not unsure about EVs, but then they can sit in it and it feels just like their normal gas powered ones. And it's peppy enough, good size, good storage, good range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good cars. So I think we'll have a look for one of those. But the pricing, you know, I was looking a few months ago and we were thinking, okay, if we budget 27 or 28, I'll get a spec I want with a car that's done 12,000 miles. And those cars are now £3,000 more. So that might stick a pin in it. The new MG, so the new one, the new MG ZS, is very, very good. Much bigger battery. They fixed the infotainment. Those MGs have got better over time as well. There was the MG, there's the MG5, which is the estate car. That's already way better than the original ZS in terms of the dash and the digital display and stuff, and the new MG is also very good. But I don't know, it feels like maybe we'll make a change for 6 months and come back to MG at some point in the future. But that's a very good shout as well. Dom, you're muted again, I think.
Yeah, sorry, that's me. I have a sore throat this morning. I've been coughing a lot, so I've been hitting my mute button. So yeah, you guys have a lot of EVs in the UK that we don't get here. So you have a lot of different choices, like from stuff from China. Like BYD, you can get the BYD there?
No, so they're not going right-hand drive yet, unfortunately, for anything like the BYDs, the Neos, the Xpengs, that are all in Norway, and I think are going to Germany and Netherlands this year. Not making right-hand drive versions of those. So we haven't got a huge amount of choice.
The MGs, but you also have like the Citroëns and the Renaults.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the other one? The Citroën, Renault, Peugeot.
Yeah, and all really nice, actually. All great.
And Skoda.
So, and they'll all be around 18 months old now, I guess, maybe 12 months old. So they start to... I don't really want to buy a new car, but honestly, the pricing isn't hugely different, mainly as well because I'd like to go find a car and drive it away rather than waiting a year to get one.
So Pampalak suggests Megane E-Tech.
Yeah, really nice car. Small Megane E-Tech gets a tiny display for the UK, so if you like that, my UK viewers, and you're thinking of ordering one, check out the display, because the Megane's got that really nice big kind of iPad screen. If you see the pictures of it, I believe that the UK version just gets a little display for reasons that I can't exactly say.
Might have to do with the slipping the steering wheel on the
wrong side. It's to do with the engineering of it. And they're looking to try and put the big screen back in the UK version. But I've not spoken to Renault myself.
All right.
But that's a really nice car. And we've owned two Zoes, so I'm a fan of Renault already.
All right. So I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about. Anything else in the news this week that you guys want to talk about, Liv, Patrick?
We're bad to ask. We're in the process of moving and painting. So, right.
And I was just when you guys were starting, so I was like, "Yeah, let's try." But oh, groggy, no coffee.
sorry. Yeah, I'm. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm glad you could join us.
Likewise.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we should just So at the end, we usually give out everyone's Twitter address. So what's yours? Where can we find you on Twitter and YouTube?
YouTube, Maki Vlog, and Twitter, Instagram, it's Maki_vlog. There we go. We're generally very active on Twitter. We're active on Instagram when we're on the road more, but we try to do at least a video a week. It gets to be more when we actually have the time and not
right.
But we have some hopefully cool stuff coming up. We're branching out a bit, so we even though we're a Maki channel, we're trying to cover other stuff, and we may have some ways to get other vehicles. We reviewed the ID4. We went to the New York Auto Show, so we covered stuff like VinFast. Of course, we went to Kyle's EV Summit, so we got a chance to drive some vehicles there. We're trying to be I know there's some channels out there that they own a certain brand car and then they review other cars, but you can sort of tell, but they never sort of mention it. It's like, we're going to be very upfront. We have a Maki, so we'll compare things to that. We're obviously biased because we spent nearly $1,000 on a car. But I think we can give a fair shake to these other brands and sort of that's our benchmark. And, there are some cars that I'll admit, like the e-tron GT that we drove, I absolutely loved. Of course, I could buy two Makis for that. So
yeah,
there is that.
Or the Mercedes EQS. Yeah. But yeah, I'm also always shopping for my car because my actual gas car is a 98 RAV4. So we're always looking for my gas replacement or my EV replacement for my gas car, which might be a used EV. Speaking of which, we have a guy, Richard, who sold your car, Martin, at the media summit. And he's a cool dude. And he has a good channel too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard came over, flew over. I couldn't do it for some reason, but he came over and enjoyed hanging out with you guys. And he's got a fantastic channel, where he's always, his business is selling EVs. So he can, if he wants a car that he can't get, he buys it. So last time I was over there a few weeks ago, he just bought himself a new, not him, but his business for his dealership, a first edition. Is that what they were called? First edition Ioniq 5? Whatever the first ones were called. Project 45. Just bought one of those because he came across it and it was local and he was interested and wanted to make some videos about it. And we'll sell it in a few weeks' time to somebody who walks into his business. And that reminded me how great that car is as well. So he's in the fortunate position to have all of those wonderful cars, and he makes a great bunch of content as well on YouTube.
Oh, and I meant to mention this earlier. Speaking of the Ioniq 5, that actually is probably a closer to DeLorean design successor to DeLorean that in my mind then the concept that actually DeLorean had produced, it's like it's got a lot of those things from the 80s going on that even and if it was like a stainless steel color or the Ioniq 5, you could put a DeLorean sticker on it and who would know. Anyway, so I guess that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them on the Inside EVs forum podcast thread or on our YouTube or Twitch comment sections. If you like the show, please give us a thumbs up if you're watching this on YouTube. And don't forget, you can follow our panelists on Twitter. You can follow Martin Lee at EV News Daily, and I'm at Dominic_Y. Liv and Patrick are at Mock E Vlog with an underscore between them on Twitter. And yeah, all right. We'll see you all again next week. And ciao.
Thanks so much.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.